Sideline Sanity with Michelle Tafoya.
Larry Elder.
1940, Michelle, 87% of black people lived below the poverty line. 1960, that number had fallen to 47. That's the greatest 20-year period of economic expansion for blacks in American history. Why? Because most black kids were born to nuclear intact families with a father in the house.
It's Sideline Sanity with Michelle Tafoya at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Sunday, the 20th of November, 2022. And I'm Pastor Sanders. And the title of the message tonight was Give Thanks Unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Now, it's an interesting thing. I wanted to say, first of all, what a wonderful service we had today. We had our Thanksgiving service. And I'm going to tell you, after the service, we had, what a dinner. Oh, my gosh, what a dinner. Those ladies could cook. Boy, could they cook. And, we're still... Back in the day, we believe men being men, and the ladies of Doers of the Word Baptist Church, one, are not ashamed of being women. Two, they're blessed to be ladies, real ladies, not like so many that are out there today. Believe me, there we don't have. It's not the way it used to be when I was growing up. But anyhow, the title of the message again was Give Thanks Unto the Lord. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go through this message, and we're going to start here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10. It's an interesting thing because in a number of my messages recently, this passage has been a part of that and going in several different directions. But here we read, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, would serve the tabernacle. And what is he referring to? Well, he's referring to the Lord's table. The Lord's table. And he was talking to Jewish Christians. And he goes on to say, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood was brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to the name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them which have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Well, here the Jewish Christians were being ridiculed, folks, and persecuted by the Jews who really didn't believe in Jesus as the Messiah. In fact, most of the book of Hebrews tells how Christ is greater than the sacrificial system. Here the writer drives home the point of his lengthy argument. It may be necessary to leave the camp and suffer with Christ. To be outside the camp meant to be unclean. But Jesus suffered humiliation and uncleanness outside the Jerusalem gates on their behalf. The time had come for Jewish Christians to declare their loyalty to Christ above any other loyalty, to choose to follow Messiah, whatever suffering that may be, that might entail. They needed to move outside the safe confinement of their past, their traditions, and their ceremonies, to live for Christ. Now, the question was, you have to apply what God has shown us, what has happened in the past, to your life today. So the question for you folks out there listening to me, and including myself, is there anything holding you back? Is there anything holding you back today from complete loyalty to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord and Savior, the one who bought you with his blood, Christ Jesus? Well, we go on and we read that here in verse 14, but for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And he's saying that we really shouldn't be attached to this world, because all that we have here is very temporary. And that's the point that the prosperity preachers miss. Those that come out by the thousands and they go to these huge stadiums to hear the prosperity preachers tell them how much material things, how many material things and that God wants to give them. Well, that's not what God says, folks. That's not what God is saying. God is saying, place up your crowns, your treasures in heaven. And that's where your reward that will last forever. But the prosperity preachers, Joel Osteen and Kevin Copeland and Crawford Dollar and the others, T.D. Jakes, they're saying, grab it and stab it, get it now while you can. Osteen says, live the good life now. No, 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 that's not what Jesus says. But you see, these people, they don't know. They believe what this guy's telling them because they're biblically illiterate. I mean, the vast majority of those folks that empty out those big stadiums to go to hear these prosperity preachers are biblically illiterate. They're clueless. They don't know what the Bible's teaching. They know what the prosperity preacher's teaching. But they have no clue in what the Word of God actually teaches. And here he goes on to say, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And now, if these Jewish Christians, because of their witness to Messiah, could no longer worship with the other Jews. And so what they did is they sang praises and their sacrifices since the blood of Jesus Christ had taken away their sins, past, present, and future, that God was no longer pleased with these animal sacrifices, folks. God was no longer pleased with those. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he was the Lamb of God, whose blood took away the sins for those that called upon his name, again, past, present, and future. And so the sacrifices that God demands were not bloody animal sacrifices at all, but were praise, worship, tithing, and service. Now, one of the things that I really emphasize, because God's Word, the Bible, emphasizes it. And, you know, sometimes, well, I got to say it. You know, after 50 years of preaching, sometimes it gets a little frustrating when, I guess you expect people to be as enthusiastic as yourself when it comes to praising God, you know, and understanding how much we have to be thankful for. And you say, well, you know, aren't we blessed? Are we blessed in this? And then, yeah, sure. Yeah, we're blessed, you know. And sometimes I expect too much, but when I expect that every single person sitting in front of me when I'm preaching on Sunday out there should have a word of praise for Almighty God, everybody. Every one of us. As we go through this message tonight, I think you'll see why. He says this, that here, the praise of God continually, that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. Recently, of course, it's always been the case, and I think every actual, real true pastor out there who was raised up by God and sent out would know, could understand that. But recently, I've had some individuals who want to argue. Now, in the past, I've had a few individuals that want to argue with the pastor or the elders, not just myself, but the others, pastors. And I had one woman who actually twice stood up in the middle of the sermon to rebuke me in my message. And I told her very clearly, if she had something to say to me, would say it to me in private, not to disrupt the service. And I told her very clearly, this will not happen a third time. Okay? And, well, I found out later on that woman had been asked to leave a number of other churches for doing exactly the same thing. You would think that sometimes, someplace along the line, she'd get the hint. Same thing, I have a fellow who's got a couple of them who have got hot and quick tempers. And they go off, they get upset. I had a situation where one fellow felt that because he had been attending the church longer than some of the others, that he should have been considered to be a deacon over the others. Well, no, deacons have to meet certain qualifications, and it's not up to the individual to decide if he's going to be the deacon. It's up to the pastor to choose the deacon, okay? And so you get, and again, the same thing, the same situation here. This fellow, I find out, had been asked to leave other churches for doing the same thing. It seems like they go down the line. They go from one to the other to the other. Over the years, too, we've had situations, and people don't realize, you know, you don't fool around with the house of God. You don't fool around with the house of God. And over the years, we've had a number of people that have come, and I had noticed that people would attend the service about every 2 or every 3 weeks. And I asked them, you know, where are you going in the other weeks? Well, they go to other churches, but you know what? One of the things that all these people had in common is they would all tell you that they had financial problems and could use some help. And every pastor out there listening to me knows he's experienced that. So they literally go to church, not to give, not to tithe from the churches, but literally to take money, and they justify it by saying, well, we're poor, and churches are to help the poor. But that's true. But at the same time, the Bible teaches, without any stuttering, that if you're not willing to work, you shouldn't eat, folks. And so we don't mind helping people, but we're not going to help people who refuse to get out and help themselves. And so here, again, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, all real pastors realize that when you're taking care of God's flock, boy, you better be very sincere, okay? Your boss is the Lord himself, and he expects nothing other than your very best. That's what God expects out of us, your very best. And so we're going to take a look now at some of the things that we should be thankful for. Again, I started out the program thinking, what a wonderful service we had today, and what a wonderful, wonderful meal those ladies cooked. And boy, when you think about it, we should be thankful that we had food to eat. Many, many people in this world today maybe feel that maybe they can get every second or third day, if that, to get something to eat, to live. But God has blessed us with such abundance. And so I guess I want to start by saying I am thankful, very, very thankful, that I was born alive at a time in America when the murder of preborn children was still considered a crime, as it has been for thousands of years. And there was a much higher caliber of morally superior Supreme Court than that 1973 court, Blackmun Court. We see that killing children was repulsive at that time when I was to the vast majority of women of that day. There was a much higher caliber, for the most part, of women, a much higher caliber of women where it comes to cleanliness, decency, and being honorable than there is today. And, well, I'll tell you what else. Back in those days, the pastors, there were a much higher caliber of pastors. I remember this, a fellow named Charles Finney. And some years ago, Finney, in a message that he was preaching, and he was the president of Oberlin College. Boy, I'm going to tell you, he would be turning over in his grave if he was in there to see what Oberlin College is like today. I'm afraid Pastor Finney would not be very happy with the way Oberlin College has turned out. But as early as 1873, in his sermon, he prophetically stated, in the very last paragraph of the sermon titled The Decay of Conscience, and he stated this, he said, if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, and boy, does he, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall, and they are, the pulpit is responsible for it. And Pastor Finney couldn't have been any more spot on than he was. one of the other things that I'm thankful to be. And I want to go back with what I just said. The pastors had the responsibility, first to Almighty God, and then to their congregations, the pastors to march on Washington, D.C., to be bold and strong and take a stand. This was outright tyranny. It was tyranny, and it was treason against Almighty God. But the pastors failed God. They failed God. They didn't have the courage when it really counted, when it really counted. And I was a young man at that time, and I kept saying, hey, what's wrong with? Let's go. Well, I did go to Washington, D.C. There was 100 of us that did go. There should have been 10,000 of us marching up there. But the pastors failed God. And they failed their congregations. And even to this day, most of them still don't have the courage to admit it. And I remember being told by some senior pastors that if you keep that up, if you keep preaching the way you're preaching, you're going to bring the government down on all of us. Well, I wanted to. Boy, did I want to bring that government down. I wanted to see them stand up and fight like men for what they believed. And at least the good Lord showed me a few that did. And I praise the good Lord for that. And today we still have a remnant that's willing to fight. And I praise God for each and every one. But I'm thankful to Almighty God that I was born in America when she was still great because she was still good. That's right, America was great because she was good. America was the home of the free because of the brave. Because of the brave. Our freedom did not come lightly. Our freedom was bought and paid for with the blood of patriotic Christian Americans. I'm thankful that I grew up in the freest, the most prosperous nation that the world had ever known. America was one nation, under God, indivisible, with freedom and justice for all. She was at one time, folks. I'm thankful that I grew up in a two-parent home. Boy, there are very few two-parent homes left today. Divorce is on the same rate as marriage today. Yeah. The very first divine institution that God gave us, marriage and the family, has been polluted by ungodly, unclean people in Washington, D.C. Just recently, amongst the unclean Democrats, amongst virtually every single unclean Democrat in the Senate, 13 unclean Republican senators, 13 cowardly unclean Republican senators joining ranks with the filthy. They joined ranks and said, yes, that divine institution that God gave us, the institution of marriage and the family, well, we're going to take that divine institution, something that God gave us. And by the way, remember what he says in Hebrews 13. In verse 4, he says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Well, let me tell you, when you did that, those 13 senators and joined the Democrats, they became whoremongers. That's what they did when they decided that they were going to defile the divine institution of marriage with their legislation and make something more vile. They dishonored God. They became whores, folks. You see, and again, I always hear from people saying, Brother Sanders, I agree with what you're saying. You're telling the truth, but why aren't the other preachers preaching this way? Why aren't they preaching this way? Folks, come on. When are you going to wake up? There's a total dearth of courage. There's a dearth of courage. A huge, shameful dearth of courage out there. Where that courage used to be in the pulpits, where hellfire and damnation was preached, where heaven sweet and hell hot was preached. Today, it's not there. Only in a few places will you find it. You'll find it here as long as I can breathe and as long as I can preach. We'll preach it without compromise. I'm thankful. That I was able to serve my country when she was great and the most powerful and the best trained and best equipped military that the world had ever known. That's right, folks. And I'm going to tell you, there was, in those days, you felt blessed, honored. You felt honored to put on the uniform. There was a camaraderie there. And today, Austin and Millie have done everything they could following the orders of their dictator. Dictator and pedophile in chief, Joe Biden, to destroy our military. They're forcing the best and the brightest. They're forcing the best and the brightest to leave our military. They're weakening our military. Our military, right now, today, thanks to Mr. Austin and Millie, is the weakest it's ever been. It's the weakest it's ever been. But I was thankful that when I served, I was able to serve in such a military. I'm thankful for a marriage that has lasted for 54 years. And 54 years, I've been married to my wonderful wife. And we have, well, I thought it was 6 years, but she told me today it was 5 years. We were together 5 years before that, so actually 59 years. 5 years before we were married, we were together, so 59 years we've been together. I'm thankful that I was able to send my son and grandsons to Christian schools. To Christian schools. I'm especially thankful about Agape Christian Academy, run by Sue and Russ Gifford. Great Christian school, a great Christian school, and my little part that I had was able to get them started. I was so thankful, and I highly recommend Agape Christian Academy. I'm thankful that we still have time. We still have time to reclaim America for God if we can just muster the will. If the people, if we can muster the will. What about you out there listening to me today? Are you ready to fight? Is your freedom worth fighting for? If the founding fathers didn't think it was worth fighting and dying for, we wouldn't have what we have today. And I can tell you this, and you better listen to me and listen to me very carefully. The goal of the Democratic Communist Party, the goal of the Democrats, they call Democrats left out there today, is to take away your freedom. And for many of you, to take away your lives. That's the reality. And they'll do it by hook and crook. They don't believe in God. They hate God. They hate God. They hate life. They hate freedom. And they hate us. Now, that's a reality. You better understand that. You prissy preachers, you know, you just better, you know, if what I'm saying gets you all upset, well, just take your pink bloomers and go and sit in the corner and cry about it. But folks, you better, that's the reality of what I'm telling you. Remember, for 50 years we've been telling you these things, and for 50 years everything we've told you has happened exactly the way we told you it would. It has. Not because we're so much smarter than everybody else. Our job is to get you, to tell you. The opposition's job is to make sure you don't find out. You don't listen, you don't hear what we're telling you here. Oh, by the way, that reminds me out there, Liz, if you don't get our newsletter, you really should. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. If you don't get it, you really, really should get it, because the articles and things that we talk about here, we have the documentation. We have the documentation that you can take and make copies of and then show to those friends and family that don't believe, that are skeptics, that are in the world and of the world. And boy, I'll tell you, we've had more people tell me how that has worked. That has turned them around when they read it in the print and they decided to run it down and verify, and now they've changed. Nobody likes to know they've been snookered. And the deathocrats and the fake news media have been deceiving people for decades and decades. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful that I've been able to preach the gospel message of salvation from coast to coast. Not just coast to coast in this country, but we're up on several different markets over the internet. And I'm not even sure on all the places we're up. I know that the folks, our tech people, put me up there. And we're able to get this message out around the world, the message of salvation. There is no greater message. There is no greater message. There never has been. Than the fact that Jesus was born, he lived, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and he raised again on the third day. And because of that, because he defeated death and hell, you and I can become immortal. We someday can be immortal. Now you've got God's word on that, not mine, God's word on that. I'm thankful that to be the pastor of the church that I pastor. Over the years, I've had people, and I had people one day, I'm sitting in my office, and there were some men came to see me. And these were elders and deacons from a very large evangelical church. And they asked me, because their pastor was leaving, if I would please come and candidate. Well, first of all, it was a 501c3 corporation. Second of all, okay, now I am an unregistered New Testament. I pastor an unregistered New Testament church. We are not a government created entity. When you are a corporation, corpus means non-living creation of the state. We are the living body of Christ, an actual New Testament church. But at the same time, we hold to a non-compromise position. We don't compromise. And, you know, we preach the gospel. We preach the hard truth. We hold to the actual doctrines of Scripture. And so I told them, I says, you guys, you don't, how long do you think I would last in that church that you're from? Probably one Sunday. I said, those people don't believe the way that we believe here. And they said that you're true. Most of them don't believe that. They don't. And that's why we need you to come. And because there are some of us that do. And I says, well, look, if that's the case, then what you need to do is come here. Because, you see, again, I would not last long over there. My preaching would be as offensive as Donald Trump is to some of these people who have Trump derangement out there. You know, yeah, Donald's got he's got a way. Sometimes he gets a little inflammatory. I preach the Word of God, and I don't stutter. I tell it exactly the way it is from the Word of God. And to a lot of people, that's offensive and inflammatory, folks. If they think I'm bad, they'd have listened to John the Baptist, or especially to the Lord Jesus. They really would have thought that he was inflammatory. I have many, many things, many more things to be thankful for. But most of all, that God chose me before the foundation of the world to spend eternity with him in glory. Folks, that is the most wonderful thing that ever could happen to anybody. And the day will come for each and every one of you out there listening to me. You're free to believe whatever you want, but I'm telling you that the day will come when the only thing in this whole wide world will matter to you is your standing with the Lord. Because you're either saved or you're lost. There's no in between. I want to go now to Daniel chapter 6. Now, Daniel didn't have any problem with courage. Daniel had no problem with courage at all. And so, here, as we go over to Daniel chapter 6, we read in verses 10, we're going to read verses 10 through 14. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon the knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and made supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Well, hast not thou signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days to save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O God, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Now, here, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Now, here what would happen if Darius did not enforce that, and then that meant that he would be no longer be king, okay, according to their statute. Now, here, Darius, see, Daniel was one, there were three presidents under the king, three presidents, and Daniel was the chief president, and also Daniel was the chief sheriff. So he held those two positions, the sheriff and president. And the other two were heathen. They didn't believe in Daniel. They didn't believe in Daniel's God, the God of Israel. And so they were out to get Daniel. They wanted to usurp him and take his position. Well, the king regarded as Daniel was highly, highly, highly regarded as a man of great wisdom, as a great prophet in that time. And so when he realized what he had done, he went and he couldn't sleep all night long. He couldn't sleep because Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. So come morning, he went there and he yelled out, Daniel, Daniel, are you okay? And Daniel said, yeah, king, okay, as the Lord liveth, I'm down here. And the angels had come and shut the lion's mouths. So now the king also had the authority, since the lions refused to eat Daniel, then that meant that Daniel was innocent and the others two presidents were guilty. So the king threw them and all of their family, fed them all to the lions. And so now, but Daniel gave thanks. He gave thanks to the Lord. He obeyed God rather than man. Daniel obeyed God rather than man. Recently, we've had some of the prissy preachers out there who fear government. And they have been sending us letters and texts saying that we should... When I told you, and I was telling people, look, you have no obligation, okay, to give any legitimacy to the Department of Justice because they have gone completely corrupted. They are no longer a Department of Justice. They're simply a strong-arm branch, a very corrupt, led by Merrick Garland, very corrupt Department of Justice, and the same thing with the FBI. Now, again, for you folks out there, look, I realize there are a lot of FBI field agents, a lot of you, that feel the same way we do. And I'm not talking to you. When I'm talking about the corruption, I'm talking about Chris Wray and those above you, those that are in the higher ranks of the FBI that have gone, they've gone a-whoring, have lost all legitimacy. You have, folks, you have no obligation to legitimize them in any way since because they have gone a-whoring. And so they've dishonored God. They've dishonored country. They've dishonored us. And they've dishonored themselves. And again, I know that there's a lot of you agents out there. And I know how you feel. You guys, you're even more angry than we are, okay, because what it's done to you, all your years you put in, and then to have this happen to you, to have your reputations ruined, and to have your friends and family ashamed of you because you're what you're working for when you didn't bring it upon yourselves. And so, you know, in Psalms 106, he tells you in verse 29, they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague break upon them. Sound familiar? They provoked God to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke up on them. Do you think that sounds like America today? Well, in verse 1, 107th Psalm, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. He goes on. By the way, in this 107th Psalm, I'm going to have to take a quick swig here. I've got this spring water. This is today. This is the second time. Normally I preach this about four times a day. And today's only the second time because since we had our Thanksgiving celebration went on all through the day. But in this passage of Psalms 107, here it speaks of four different types of people in distress and how God rescues them. One, he talks about the wanderers. In verses 4 through 9 here, he talks about the prisoners in verses 10 through 16, the sick in verses 17 through 20, and those that are tossed by the storms in verses 23 through 30. And he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, when he has redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and the south. Well, here, when he gathered them, he redeemed them from their enemies. And today, the church, the body of Christ, will be redeemed when the rapture of the church takes place. Right now, the earnest money has been paid, the down payment, okay? The But the transaction will be complete upon the rapture of the church. In verse 21 we read, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare the works with rejoicing." And then I want to go over to Colossians. In Colossians in chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. And I wanted to go to verses 6 through 10. "Now as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted up and built up in him, and established in the faith that you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Well, accepting Christ as the Lord in your life is the beginning of life with Christ. And that's what he's telling you here, okay? He goes on to say, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Now that's interesting there, because that word vain means empty. It means an empty deceit, a worthless. "After the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world." The rudiments he's referring to are basic principles of the world, folks. "And not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of the principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of sins and off the flesh of the circumcision of Christ." Now, here, Paul himself, folks, was a real gifted philosopher. In fact, he was known for his wisdom. And in fact, it was the interesting thing, because Paul speaks about wisdom in Corinth, and in Corinth, where they fancied themselves, the Corinthians, the Greeks, fancied themselves to be people of great culture and a great intellects. Paul here, if you go on, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." That's exactly what has happened today. What it was once was the church. But see, God's word in the Bible tells us this will happen. It tells us this will happen. The Lord Jesus made it very clear. He said, "Many, many are called, but few are chosen." So he's telling you, when he says many will come, but few will enter. The vast majority of those that have a profession of faith do not have a possession of salvation. You know, when you go and you look and you watch Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes or these guys running these, with all these people coming out and they're preaching a prosperity message, a name it, claim it, a grab it and stab it message, talking about living a good life now and placing up crowns on earth, all getting your riches here. It's exactly total opposition to what the Lord Jesus preached. And by the way, real pastors are supposed to warn people. They're supposed to be a watchman on the wall and warn about those that would fleece the flocks, warn about the false teachers. He goes on to say here, "For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Well, you know, when Thomas asked the Lord, "When will we see the Father?" And Jesus said, "How, if you've been with me so long, you don't realize when you see me, you've seen the Father?" For, again, here, he says, "For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In other words, here, when you've seen the Lord Jesus Christ, when he took on a human form, you saw the Trinity right there in him bodily, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, is the head of all principality and of all powers. So here, he goes on to say, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of sin in the flesh of the circumcision of Christ. So, I want to now go over to Colossians chapter 3 and start with verse 12. And I got to take another sip. And so here, put on therefore, we're starting in verse 12 through 17 in Colossians chapter 3. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you also, do you. Now that's one of the things that again, all pastors understand, we have to deal with. There are some people that, again, you have to deal with within the congregation, and they cause division because they always think that they're right. And they want to argue, with the pastor. Now, see, folks, there's a reason that the pastor's the pastor and that they're not. And just like all these years on the radio, I've had so many of these people call me and tell me I should be preaching this or I should be preaching that. I should be, and especially when it comes to teaching the Word of God. I've been doing this for 50 years. We really put an emphasis, really, really put an emphasis on dividing the Word of God. Okay? And there are people that will call me, and they'll be as far off can get. They've gotten a hold of some material written by somebody who absolutely is not in line. Instead of going to the Word of God, okay, and you take this and you measure it by God's Word, instead of doing that, they measure it by writings of other nutcases. Not a good thing to do. And so here, and it's not a good thing if any man have a quarrel, you know, against any, even as Christ forgave you, and above all these things put on charity, which is bound of perfectness. And the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and must be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts for the Lord. And whatsoever do you, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. He's telling them something. Here's what he's telling them. If you're having a hard time forgiving people, then do this. Just sit down, and it might be a good idea, even if you took a pen and paper, and just write down all of the things that God has forgiven you for. All of the things over all the many years that you've asked forgiveness for God. And then think about that. And then you'll realize maybe it's not so hard to forgive those that you feel have done you wrong. He goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father to him. And then I want to end here by going over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to start with verse 13. Verse 13 through 17. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Did you hear that? From the beginning chosen us to salvation. And so, what is Paul teaching here? Well, let's read this because there's a theme here. Through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto you called you by our gospel and obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word. Well, here's what he's saying. He's saying that salvation begins and ends with God. Salvation begins and ends with God. Now, folks, you know here where he says stand fast? Well, you remember how we're always telling you three main missions that God has given us. Three main missions. Mission one, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, to go out and preach the gospel, teach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Two, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And then third, right here, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast, he's telling you. And that means that you are to not give up any ground. You don't give up any ground. You don't compromise your position. You do not become conformed to the world. All around you, you're seeing conformity to the world. Don't ever, never, never let the other side, don't ever let the devil's crowd frame the debate. Whoever frames the debate wins the debate. Don't ever use their terminology. Never use their terminology. Don't use the word abortion. Use the word child killing, baby killing, baby killing. Okay. Don't use the word gay. Call it the way it is. God's word, the Bible, calls it sodomy. Sodomy. Tell it the way it is. It's a horrible sin. Okay, LGBTQ, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queer. That's the way it really is. It's horrible. The Bible says it's a horrible, horrible thing. Now, folks, let me tell you. Whenever you decide that you've run into and you've come up a disagreement with God, it always ends this way. Like it or not, it ends this way. God wins, you lose. Now, you might think in your little mind that you might have won this argument, or you're going to continue to believe what you're going to believe. But I'll tell you this. There's no chance at all that this won't happen. The time will come when you will believe every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God. There is no chance at all, none, that that won't happen. Well, we're up against it like we always are at this time every night. So as we say every night, we want to say here again, good night, God bless, happy Thanksgiving, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's right, what's left.
hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-SHARE-24. That's 833-SHARE-24. 833-SHARE-24.